The atmosphere is electric. Seven clamps have locked tight around the hull of the submarine. Two are loose, and one appears to have failed. Duke looks at Cooper.
Your call.
Can you lift it? Asks Cooper.
I think so.
Duke's face is somber.
We'll see once we've got it off the mud.
Let's check upstairs, Cooper suggests, and Duke nods. The captain can say yes or no and make it stick. It's his ship they'll be endangering if they make a wrong call. 5 minutes later, they've got their answer.
Do it,
says the skipper, in a tone that brooks no argument.
It's what we're here for.
He's on the bridge because the impending bad weather and the proximity of other ships, a second Russian trawler has just shown up, demands his presence, but there's no mistaking his urgency.
Okay, you heard the man.
5 minutes later, a faint vibration shakes the surface of the moon pool. Clementine has blown its ballast, scattering 1,000 tons of lead shot across the seafloor around the submarine. The cameras show nothing but a grey haze for a while. Then the drill string, visible through the control room window, begins to move, slowly inching upward.
Thrusters to full,
Duke snaps. The string begins to retract faster and faster, dripping water as it rises from the icy depths.
Give me a strain gauge report.
The strain gauges on the giant grabs are reading green across the board. Each arm is supporting nearly 500 tons of submarine, not to mention the water it contains. There's a loud mechanical whine from outside, and a sinking feeling, and the vibration Cooper can feel through the soles of his Oxford brogues has increased alarmingly. The Explorer's drill crew is running the machines at full power now that the grab has increased in weight. The ship, gaining thousands of tons in a matter of seconds, squats deeper in the Pacific swell.
Satisfied now?
Asks Cooper, turning to grin at the Brit, who for his part looks as if he's waiting for something, staring at one screen intently.
Well, we've got a little time to go, says the hatchet-faced foreigner. A little? Until we learn whether or not you've gotten away with it. What are you smoking, man? Of course we've gotten away with it.
Murph has materialized from the upper decks like a Boston Irish ghost, taking out his low-level resentment on the Brit, who is sufficiently public school English to make a suitable whipping boy for Bloody Sunday, not to mention being a government employee to boot.
Look, submarine, submersible grab, coming up at 6 feet per minute. After the break, film at 11.
His tone is scathing.
What do you think the commies are going to do to stop us? Start World War III? They don't even goddamn know what we're doing down here. They don't even know where their sub went down to within 200 miles.
It's not the commies I'm worried about, says the Brit.
He glances at Cooper.
How about you?
Cooper shakes his head reluctantly.
I still think we're going to make it. The sub's intact, undamaged, and we've got it.
Oh shit, says Steve.
He points the central camera in the grab's navigation cluster down at the seafloor, a vast gray-brown expanse stirred into slow whirls of foggy motion by the dropping of the ballast and the departure of the submarine. It should be slowly settling back into bland desert dunes of mud by now, but something's moving down there, writhing against the current with unnatural speed. Cooper stares at the screen.
What's that? May I remind you of Article 4 of the treaty, says the Brit. No establishment of permanent or temporary structures below a depth of 1 kilometer beneath mean sea level on pain of termination. No removal of structures from the abyssal plain on pain of ditto. We're trespassing. Legally, they can do as they please.
But we're only picking up the trash.
They may not see it that way.
Fine fronds, a darker shade against the grey, are rising from the muddy haze not far from the last resting place of the K-129. The fronds ripple and waver like giant kelp, but are thicker and more purposeful. They bring to mind the blind, questing trunk of an elephant exploring the interior of a puzzle box. There's something disturbing about the way they squirt from vents in the seafloor, rising in pulses as if they're more liquid than solid.
Damn, Cooper says softly.
He punches his open left hand.
Damn! Language, chides Duke. Barry, how fast can we crank this rig? Steve, see if you can get a fix on these things. I want to peg their ascent rate.
Barry shakes his head emphatically.
The drill platform can't take any more, boss. We're up to force 4 outside already, and we're carrying too much weight. We can maybe go up to 10 feet per minute, but if we try to go much above that, we risk shearing the string and losing Clementine.